Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast, Patreon bonus, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. Might help if I put my camera on. You might notice also that my hair is product out. Of course you're going to notice my hair. It's the greatest hair that's ever haired. My God. You see how these dogs are like zonked out and they haven't moved much? Camera just got blurry. Still dealing with that. Holy shit. When we go up north, it's like they do not stop playing, particularly Darla, being that she's a year old. And there was another like 6-month-old puppy there named Georgia, Charity Scam Mike's dog. And oh my God, they just for hours, they're exhausted. It takes them like a couple days of rest just to be normal again. They're completely gassed. My God. Welcome to each and every one of you. I have some updates. And I want to warn you ahead of time, today's a screwy day, and here's why. Typically, on a Monday is when I would have that staff meeting for the radio station, which, frankly, is just a huge waste of my time anyway, but I sit through it. So we didn't do it on Monday because of Memorial Day. So we had to do it today. Now, that fucks me up because... I mean, first of all, I have to do two acts to this show, but I have a hard start time of 2 p.m. Eastern time for Who Are These Broadcasts? Who Are These Broadcasters, I should say, with Christian Blatt on the Who Are These Podcasts YouTube channel, which I'll be starting in 38 minutes. And it's not as it's a pretty tight squeeze if it's a normal Tuesday, which is basically me podcast, free podcast, Patreon podcast. Take care of some boring shit, arts and crafts, let the dogs out, boom, I'm podcasting with Christian for the next hour. Today, though, I had to add another fucking 35 minutes of time not to podcasting to do this goddamn staff meeting, which is just fucking terrible. So I hate to tell you this, but I'm probably not going to be nearly as long as I like to be. I like to be north of 30 at least. I'm happy. I'm really happy if I get to 40 minutes here. And I honestly don't think I'm going to get to that. I mean, I could, but then everything, I got to, okay. I get done with this shit and then these dogs got to take a leak. You got to let them out. And then I do not like to have them in this room when I do Who Are These Broadcasters, because different audience. If they fuck around in here while you're here, it's no big deal. If they distract me and everybody else while I'm doing a show that they don't know me, my point is I don't like to keep them in here. I have to go and put them downstairs in their kennels. You don't need to know all this. It's just basically an example of how fucked up this day is. And it's all because of that goddamn staff meeting. Ugh. Shit. Jeremy writes, I missed all of part two of the free podcast. Can you retell every story you talked about? Yeah, I am guessing that Aram going forward is not going to make that mistake again. With, oh, yeah, how come you didn't bring your pants? How come you didn't go get another pants? Shut up! God. I know a lot of you are wondering about an update on my physical therapy. As you know, for the last month and a half, I've sat here and I've complained about my arm going numb. It's painful. And, you know, there's been three loud people who have said, EZ, you must go to a chiropractor. Okay? Aram writes, not a big deal. Wait a minute, not a big deal that I busted you, or you're telling me that what you did was not a big deal? Because it was a big deal. It was absolutely a big deal. It's a huge deal, which is why your nose was rubbed in shit for extended time, because of the size of the deal. Big deal. So either way you look at it, it's a big deal. Unless if you're saying, hey, it's not a big deal that you beat the shit out of me, then I'm like, oh, okay, he's rolling with it. But I'm curious what you mean. And something else you have a tendency to do. You have a tendency to, when you write something, I'm always like, well, what do you mean? You oftentimes act right like we're in the same room, like I should know exactly what you're referencing. And you do realize that by the time I say it, by the time it hits your ears, by the time you type it out, the moment is gone. So it's difficult to have that type of communication with anybody in the chat. Again, this is not a conversation. So, okay, what I did was not a big deal. Absolutely wrong. It entirely was a big deal. Why would you say that? Everybody, Kenny has been beaten up so many times over shit like that. So have other people. You know how badly I beat up Maureen when she was having her side discussion about her lake house? You can't do that. You can't just sit there and like, oh, well, hey, catch me up on what happened. No, you fucking moron. What I did was not a big deal. It entirely was a big deal. It's a very big deal. What kind of fucking idiot just busts out that shit in the middle of a show? How come you didn't just go buy more pants? Well, dickhead, if you were there on time, which you weren't, you would have known. But since you weren't, you can't just interject yourself into the goddamn show with, oh, give me details, fill in the blank for me. I'm a dumb fuck. No, you can't do that. It's entirely a big deal. Jesus. I love when people tell me how I should feel about whether or not it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. It's a massive distraction. Do you think when I write these shows out, I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk about this, this, and this. Oh, I've got to get angry and freak out and yell at people. I don't like to do that. Who the fuck likes to do that? So annoying. Jesus. So it was a massive deal. Anyway. Something else I get annoyed at is everybody telling me to go see a chiropractor, which now I know in my heart of hearts that that is not going to help. And here's the update. I went for my first day of physical therapy on Wednesday. Now, it turns out I know the guy. Went to college with him. His name's Brian. I go, dude, what's up? How are you? How are the kids? Great. Okay. Awesome. Well, easy. Explain what's going down. I explained to him everything I explained to you. Cervical radiculopathy, pinched nerve in my neck. Here's the symptoms. This is what it's doing. He goes, okay, you sound like a classic case. Let's go. And now I think when I hear physical therapy, I think, oh, we got to like build up tons of muscle. Okay. Pause in the action. As Aram writes, almost none of my comments are directed to Eric. Anyone from the audience could have answered or ignored. Not a big deal. You dummy, I have made this abundantly clear to you, Aram, that all of those conversations, it takes so, like if you're having a conversation, when Maureen's talking lake house, you do realize that the chat is there to talk about, maybe give me some jokes, talk about what's going on, all right? So, I mean, when I look at the chat and see all the conversations that people are having and like, well, fuck, I need the chat to actually interact with people who want to interact with me. And then not to get Aram caught up with what's going on and everybody else, when they don't know what's going on, you know what they do? They just go back. Why? What makes you so special? I don't understand. Wouldn't it be easier to just, oh, okay, the show is live. I could just listen right now and ask everybody questions and get caught up by the audience. Or I could go back in real time, click back to the start of the show and get this whole fucking story, which was a great story. Why would you do it that way? Why would you want people who aren't funny on text telling you what's going on and getting you caught up to speed? I don't understand why you would even want to do that. Jesus. Anyone from the audience could have answered or ignored. Not a big deal, he writes. And then he says, I almost never use the word you. My comments are directed to the other listeners. Everybody plays by the rules. It's Aram's. He's special. He doesn't need to do it. He can do whatever he wants. Aram can go ahead and just ask whatever he wants to ask. There you go. I like Cole's suggestion that your brain is numb because you don't get enough protein because you don't eat meat. I want you to know that because of all this nonsense that you've put me through and now you're digging your heels in, I'm going to go buy 10 turkeys today and throw them in the garbage. Okay? 10 more turkeys die today because of you. And for every smart ass comment, another turkey gets it. All right? Bob says, even Kenny knows when to stop. Aram's special. Aram's a special, special guy. He can do whatever he wants. I've already lost my train of thought. What the fuck was I talking about? See what happens? God. So I'm thinking that I have to go there and like pump iron with the guy, do some shoulder. And he goes, okay, so this is different, Eric. This is what happens. Lay down on your back. I lay down on my back, and he's looking over me, okay? And he puts his hands underneath my neck, and he starts to, like, with his fingers and hands, knead my back like he's kneading dough, you know? And he goes, okay. So what they do in this is much different than, like, if you're doing, like, rehabbing a knee after you get surgery. Because what's going on here is you have the spinal cord and all those bones that make up the vertebrae. And then coming off of each of those vertebrae are more nerves that hit the various parts of that make you move. Something is touching that nerve. Could be a bone spur, could be a piece of cartilage, something like that. So what he is going to try to do is through my skin and through my muscles, with his fingers, slowly get that thing to get it to move, whatever it is that's touching the base of that nerve that goes out to my arm. And he says to me, he goes, this doesn't always work. It works sometimes. He goes, but you are a classic case, and I've been successful, very successful with people similar to you, Eric. I go, okay, great. So he's massaging my neck, and basically for 25 minutes, he's massaging my neck. That's it, the whole thing. And it feels really good. You know, I'm like, oh my God, you know, I was afraid I'd get a boner. And he goes, is this hurting anyway? I go, nothing, not at all. Nope, not at all. And then he goes, I'm going to put you in some traction now. And what he means by that is like pulling my neck. He's pulling it. So that, like, it's elongating, you know? He goes, I'm relieving all the pressure on your neck. And he's just gently pulling it. And then he, like, releases it. And then he goes, so that's it. He didn't do anything more than that. I did ask him, Kenny, you fuck. I go, what about chiropractors? He goes, no, absolutely not. The problem with that is too often they'll do their adjustments, and then all of a sudden you've got a worst case scenario. Avoid that if possible. Kenny says, sounds kind of like he's a certain chiropractor kind of skill set. Sounds like he's got a certain chiropractor kind of skill set. I don't know. I'm not going to a chiropractor. And I'm changing my opinion. Remember I said to you that if this doesn't work, I'll go to a chiropractor? I'm now taking that back. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that shit. Fuck that. Jeremy says, hate to say it, but Kenny does have a point. No, he doesn't have a fucking point, you moron. Jeremy, he doesn't have any fucking point. What are you talking about? A chiropractor is not a physical therapist. Cracking the neck is not going to do a goddamn thing. He goes, okay, easy. in the event that if a person like in your spot ever goes into surgery, what happens is they go in, make a small incision, they have a camera, they look inside of there, and they take whatever is touching that nerve and make it so it's not touching it. It's like, it just plunk, just grabs it, and that's it. And he says, and it's instantaneous. The second the surgery is done, it isn't like it's still causing you trouble. It's immediately fixed forever. It'll never, it's good to go. So I'm like, all right. So worst case scenario, this doesn't work. And then I get operated on. And then it's fixed. No big deal. Stevie says, of course, the PT is going to say not to go to the chiropractor. What a shocker. Yeah, with that comment right there, I believe that you are now starting to think like these three twats, Joe Martinez, Kenny, and David in Hudsonville. You're starting to now think like them. Okay? I will smack the shit out of you for that. That is bullshit, woman. I won't really smack the shit out of you. You could probably kick my ass anyway, but now fucking stupid. Knock it off. Well, anyway, he did all of that. And then he says, how does it feel? I go, feels fine. I go, the time will tell. He goes, this is going to take a while. I want you to set up like the next month and a half. Okay, and then we're going to do this, and then I'll start to get more involved. There's a few things you can do at home, but ultimately, it's going to take about that amount of time. And I know what you guys are saying. You're saying, that's the same thing a chiropractor would do. Why are you so opposed to going to a chiropractor? Because I've said, yeah, the chiropractor is going to make me sign up for more visits and all that shit, and that's what the physical therapist is doing. Because the fucking chiropractor is a myth. It doesn't do anything. I do not believe you when you tell me the chiropractor can do shit. He can't. That's where we divide. Physical therapist under the direction of my doctor, who he knows, green check mark. Chiropractor that loser asshole audience members suggest I go see, red check mark. Fuck off. Don't fuck off. F you. No F you. Okay? You guys are not experts. You're morons. Every one of you. God. Kenny writes, interesting how people who have lived with pain and have gotten help from chiropractors on their past just want to recommend you go see one because they all want you to experience the same thing, which is help with fixing the problem and ridding you of the pain. Yeah, just because it worked for your fat ass doesn't mean it's going to work for mine. And by the way, if I have to choose between a chiropractor and a doctor 10 out of 10 times, I am going with the doctor. I'm not going to listen to you. You can't even manage your fucking body. Why the fuck would I listen to you? God damn. I've had it. See what you've done? All right. When this works, when this works, and it's either going to work through the PT or it's going to work with getting my neck cut open, and then they will fix it that way. And then I will say to you, when I am all stitched up with a scar on my neck and I'm wearing one of those immobilizers, it feels great. See? Kenny says, I want you to enjoy your pain along with your ignorance. Have fun. What a cock. Okay. Speaking of pain, my trip up north was almost ruined. By the way, on the way home, so there we are up north yesterday, and it is raining like nonstop, pouring all day. And I made a executive decision because what I did was I drove the camper, and I have like that thing called the car dolly. It's two wheels. You drive a car up on it, and you can tow a car. So we'd have some place to drive around in case we needed a car. Well, it's pouring down rain, and three times I have destroyed cars with trying to get the car up on that dolly. Two of the three are the car that we're using while we're up there, that 2015 Civic, where, you know, you drive it up there and something grabs onto the bumper and you back off and the bumper goes flying, rips off. That's happened twice with the same car. And then the third thing was Diana's Dodge, which we ended up giving that car to Jim and Aubrey, where I drove onto the dolly and then kept going and went off of the dolly. And I fucked up the whole front end and destroyed the radiator. So you got to be very careful when you're putting a car on the car dolly. And when it's wet and rainy, those metal skids that you drive the car up on, they get slick. And it kind of fucks everything up. So I said, you know what? We're not even going to put the car on the dolly. Just follow me home. We'll come back another day and get the fucking dolly. Change it up to a post. Good. We'll leave it here. So that was the smart thing. Save myself a real headache and cost, potentially. But now, I had talked to you about this. I talked on the show about how I was moving that car dolly, and then all of a sudden the wheels stop rolling. There's two wheels on it. One of them stops. It's like skidding along. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I think it was Nick who said, oh, my God, your bearings are fucking gone. So I was going to have some guy fix it. And then by accident, I tried to move it, and it rolled. I'm like, what the hell? How is it now rolling? I guess it's fine. So I canceled it. I called the guy. I go, hey, don't even worry about it. So now that was a mistake. I should have had him come and fix it. Deep down, I think I believe that it wasn't really fixed, but it was rolling. So I go, ah, fuck it. So then on Thursday, it comes time to put the dolly on the back of the camper. And I'm rolling it down the driveway to attach to the camper. And all of a sudden, the wheel stops rolling. And I'm like, oh, no, the problem's back. Oh, fucking shit. I got a jack. I jack up the dolly. I take the tire off. And I'm just staring at it. It's at this point, it's got a brake, you know? These brakes work where if the thing happens to pop off the trailer hitch, it'll stop itself before it kills somebody. I'm looking at the brake drum. And I don't know what the fuck to do. So Brian, my neighbor, the Hallelujah clan, he used to be a mechanic. I go, Brian, can you help me? Heidi Hodley, neighbor. And he comes over and he goes, yeah, I'll take a look at it. And this is the damn good thing that this happened, you know, honestly, because he pops that thing off, that drum, which just getting that off, I would never have been able to do that. He like does a couple things and then he's looking at the inner workings of this wheel, I guess, or this system that has the brakes and the axle and all that shit. He goes, well, it looks like these bearings have been packed recently. They look good. So it's not the problem with the bearings at all. What the fuck is it? He pops that brake drum off and like, I guess there's shoes there that when the brakes go, they expand and it stops the fucking thing, the brake shoes. One of them fell fucking off and was causing this issue. He goes, there's your problem. Pulls it out and he goes, this is no good. He goes, you probably won't use the brakes. These are designed to never use the brakes. I go, correct. He goes, so just leave it off. I'll put it all back together. And then just when you get back from your trip, we'll put a new set of brakes on it. I go, oh my God, I could kiss you. I'm so happy. So put it all back together and fucking good as new. I'm like, yes. It was fantastic. But, I tell you what, that would have been me on the side of the road. Thank God that happened in the driveway. Because if for whatever reason it didn't and I started driving down the road, even if it was just out of the subdivision, I'm fucked. But it worked out. I'm happy with that. All right, as much as I bitch, I love you very much. Thank you for being here. Jeremy had a funny comment. I've never heard a good story about spinal surgery. It seems more pain than it... Now, that's not the comment he said. What was it? It was something about me taking steroids. That's gone now. Fuck it. Thanks again, folks. I'll talk to you. I'm heading over to who are these podcast YouTube channel. Come see me over there with Christian Blatt. Have a good one, folks. Till next time, thank you and bye-bye. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in. Holy Rip Van Winkle. I'm not kidding you. Yesterday, I resisted the urge to do the old nappy poo. And today, I'm like, okay, I can actually pull this off. Let's do it. Let's just go completely dark. Shut it down. Not with five dogs on the bed to keep me up. And it was like, I was watching the new thing to fall asleep is watching video of a backhoe operator work. The precision work of a backhoe operator, whether he's digging a trench or dredging out an area with water and, oh my God, or grading the land smooth. It's just immediately then I'm gone. 2 hours later, I'm up. Oh, that was intense. I will say this. The prednisone has completely worn off. So now I am back to misery in the usual area from this pinched nerve. My God. Just an update on that. Still nothing on Trump. I did read an article from a guy in USA Today who said nearly he's a former press secretary for George W. Bush. I forget his name. It doesn't matter. And his article in USA Today was exactly what I told you on the free podcast. If he wins this criminal trial, whatever the fuck it is, this hush money thing, I guess that's criminal. Yeah. All right, great. Even better for him if he loses. Either way, he will win in November. This is a foregone conclusion, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't want that. The guy's a piece of shit. But there is no stopping this guy. And if he loses this criminal trial, that is going to make him have that much more of legendary status. Megan says, I took two easy style naps on Monday. They totaled 7.5 hours of sleep. Atta girl. By the way, when ladies listen to the Eric Zane Show podcast, there's a special place in my heart for the multi-talented ladies that listen to my show. And I was reminded about another one of them. Not nearly as vocal as the ones that I talked to on the chat during the free podcast or right here on the Patreon. But let me just tell you, Deb V would fit in very nicely with all of you. She just has that certain type of Eric Zane Show podcast, lady audience member, flair and style. Okay? I don't know what it is about the ladies that listen to my show, but I think that they're just kind of like a rare breed of spectacular that makes me so very happy. No offense to the dudes, but if you were all ladies, I think I would be the happiest person ever. as you know, I am very much in touch with my feminine side. Deb wrote in. First of all, she wrote, good afternoon. I think I heard you mention a few weeks ago last year that the Dirty Donut Race only had one person register from advertising on your show. That's what I was told. Deb writes, while that might be true, I wanted you to know, EZ, that I told my daughter about it last year. And this year, she did register with a friend for the race because of that. And I just registered myself this past weekend to join her as well for that race. Thank you, Deb. Though I listen daily and know you've mentioned the race this year, I can't really recall if Donut Dan is actually advertising this year. There was not a place that I could that I saw when registering that I could mention where I heard about the race. Just letting you know for fun and looking forward to it. Signed, Deb. Thank you, Deb. I will let Donut Dan know. He's the guy behind that race. Nice dude. Signed, EZ. Deb follows up. And this is where it's going to get super interesting. I've also been meaning to mention on the rare occasion that I send you an email. Listener Maureen has mentioned that she is 63 years young and is likely your oldest listener. And also that Mr. Maureen does not like the show. Note, she adds, I am also 63 years young. And Mr. Deb also does not enjoy your show. Have a good day. Signed, Deb. All right. I am really curious about that. Because outside of the poo-poo-pee-pee-caca that happens from time to time, I think that this is probably the greatest thing that has ever happened in the history of audio. And the only time that it is greater is when the next day starts. What in the world is wrong with a person who has a problem with what I say? And how can two people be so entirely different? I just don't understand it. Anyway. Thank you very much, Deb. I appreciate you. Sarah says, who needs those old fart men anyway? Yeah, Sarah, one of the lovely, talented pack of ladies that support the Eric Zane Show podcast. Brad and I like each other, I think, but I don't think Brad listens. But I don't think he dislikes the show. Brad's a good guy. All right. I've got a video I want to share. I just came across this, stumbled across it when I was meaning to do something else. It is a, looks like to be some type of court date. A gentleman has a suspended license. And he joined the Zoom for the proceedings while driving. We'll pick it up. Oops. Hold on. As soon as I hit that button that you saw me reach for it, I suddenly heard myself. That would have meant we would have had a wormhole. And we've already had one of those today. I don't want another one. All right, here we go. Audio check. Video check.
Assistant Public Defender Natalie Tate for Mr. Harris, who should be present via Zoom.
All right, so there he is.
Mr. Harris, are you...
There's Mr. Harris, who we will call Black Kenny.
Driving.
Actually, I'm pulling into my doctor's office, actually. So
he actually does. He could pull off Black Kenny.
So just give me 1 second. I'm parking right now.
The judge chagrin. He can't believe it.
Hey.
The judge is so frustrated.
Stationary?
I'm pulling in right now at this second. Yes, I am.
All right. What are we doing?
Your Honor, we are respectfully requesting an adjournment in this matter, possibly 2 to 4 weeks that the court would allow.
So maybe I don't understand something. This is a driver with a license suspended?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And he was just driving.
Public defender.
And he didn't have a license.
This time the guy, Black Kenny, is like, uh-oh.
That's what the charge is, Your Honor, yes.
No, I'm looking at his record. He doesn't have a license. He's suspended and he's just driving.
That is correct, Your Honor.
I don't even know why he would do that. So defendant's bond is revoked in this matter. Defendant is turning himself into the Washtenaw County Jail by 6 p.m. today. Failure to turn himself in will result in a bench warrant with no bond.
This is from public.
Wait, hold on a minute. He goes, oh my God.
Failure to turn himself in will result in a bench warrant with no bond.
Oh, fucking Black Kenny. Oh, that is spectacular. Wow. Well, bummer for him. Oh. Chris, can I drive to jail, Your Honor? Does it surprise anybody? Does it surprise anyone in this room that Aram asks, how do they know the car is moving?
Assistant Public Defender Natalie Tate for Mr. Harris, who should be present via Zoom.
Mr. Harris, hello? Are you driving?
Actually, I'm pulling into my doctor's office, actually.
So. Okay, now let's go over the clues that tell us he's driving on this Zoom. You can see the car is moving. That, I think, is... Now, listen, I was being so obnoxious yesterday towards Aram, but I have to ask this. Can you maybe talk me through how you formed the thought of maybe how do they know that he's driving? And is this the TISM speaking through you again? And then the guy says, I'm pulling into the doctor's office.
I'm pulling into my doctor's office, actually.
So typically when someone says, hey, I'm pulling in, that I would say 100 out of 100 times. That indicates you're driving. Are we on the same page with that one, everyone? So now that's two big clues. Then there's the clue of he's behind the wheel, wearing a seatbelt, turning the steering wheel with his eyes forward. The car is moving. He says, I'm pulling into the parking spot. These are all key indications that Black Kenny is moving. What the hell? What are you doing? He says, damn, dude, why did you say that? I don't know what you mean. Chris said, can I drive you? Can I drive? He just said he was moving. Aram misses it. Another key moment, Kenny writes. I walked away right at the beginning. Oh, of all the times to have this happen again to you. Jesus Christ. Well, anyway, I love that. I love Black Kenny there. Kenny actually adds that there's a black dude named Kenny at my church. He's super awesome and hilarious. So let me, so does that church have made up rules like the Catholics? Do you allow gay people to get married in your church? By the way, when it comes to churches, in all honesty, I mean, I'm just saying that right now, but there are like maybe two churches in the area that allow gay people to get married in their church. Those are the only ones that I want to go to. It's, I forgot, the one is the Methodist church, local Methodist church, and I forget the one other than that. I went to it, actually, but I forget what it's called. That's the one where Diana and I, just husband and wife, male, female, we are the minority there. Everyone in attendance, including the pastor, was the opposite gender. Kenny says there are no made-up, man-made rules, no sir. So does your church allow the gays to get married? Because if they don't allow the gays to get married, that is a man-made rule. You can't have man-made rules. That's it. Georgetown United Methodist Church is a good one. Rainbow Doors. Because the Methodist Church is in a spot right now where they're splitting or something like that. Like, part of the Methodist Church has had it with the tolerance and acceptance of gay people. So there's like a split going on. I want to be on the good side of the split. You know, it would be a funny bit at this year's Pride if we had the most MAGA of Zaniac go down to the Pride event and basically just ask questions to anybody who that person thinks looks like a weirdo. Like, we could get, like, Andrea's husband to do it. Megan says North Lawn in Grand Rapids is a good one, too. All right. So, you guys remember the submersible implosion? How long ago was that? When that thing went down to see the Titanic and all that craziness when it imploded, there is another really rich guy who wants to go down and do that. But before we take a look at that story, I want to go over this animation of the Ocean Gate implosion. This is really cool. I saw the story when I was just getting ready to go nighty night. Human body against implosion. The wreck of the Titanic is 3,800 meters down. Okay, there's the Ocean Gate, the animation of the submersible. This is how fast an implosion takes place. There it is, floating along. There's our guy sitting in there. The implosion duration is 20 milliseconds. Brain pain response, 150 milliseconds. You remember seeing all these numbers? I don't know what that word is. Adiabatic compression results in 50,000 TNT explosions. That's the type of force that we're talking about. Okay, this is real time, how quickly the Ocean Gate submersible imploded. That's it. Gone. Can you believe that? Real time with spotlight. I don't know what the difference is. Slow-mo. Katie, you see that red in there? That's our dude. That's our dude. This is what happens to the guy. Wow. You're just gone. Whoo. Nothing. That is so incredible. Well, this dude wants to test this out. This gentleman right here, who looks, it's kind of a bad picture. I don't know if I'd want that picture on the cover of the New York Post. But that's the guy. This guy's got a ton of cash. And he's like, look, Larry Connor, he's a billionaire. He wants to take a $20 million sub to the Titanic site to prove industry is safer after the Ocean Gate implosion. All right. Now, I mean, I don't know if there's got to be more of a reason for it than that, because if you do it, if you say, look, we proved it. Is your ultimate goal just to have an entire entity of subs going down to Titanic? Don't forget, the Ocean Gate submersible went down many times prior to it imploding. And each one of those, it was a little bit weaker after the intense pressure that was put on it. But this guy thinks he can do it. Real estate investor Larry Connor of Dayton, Ohio, said he and Triton Submarines co-founder Patrick LaHaye will plunge more than 12,400 feet to the shipwreck site in a two-person submersible. I think that if you were to take the pulse of the nation, after it happening so recently, the Ocean Gate submersible, I would say that there are several factors that make it so that more than 50% of America hope this guy dies, that he fails and the thing implodes. Okay? Rich fucker, too soon, that's another factor, going down in a submersible. I think primarily because he's a rich fucker and that it, you know, it's fresh in everybody's memory. People are going to be like, oh, this fucking idiot is going to die. So I think that if you were to do a poll of Americans, more than 50% would be like, I hope that there is an implosion. So he's building a sub, and away he goes. I wish him luck. I would never, ever do that, go down there. That seems so ridiculous to me that he would even attempt it. This is going around. Kesha says that this was the saddest moment of her life. Pop performer Kesha, who actually, I don't know if you know this, is very, very smart. First of all, she dropped out of high school, and then eventually she was encouraged to get her GED, and she took her SAT, and she had a near-perfect score on it. She's one of those people who's just bored. It's like, fuck this. I got better shit to do with my time than this fucking school shit. Her mom's a songwriter. That's how she got introduced to the right people in making her music. But this is the saddest moment in Kesha's life, according to her. Do you guys remember this? Was that some awards thing and Jerry Seinfeld's being interviewed and she rushes up to give him a hug and he does not want to give her a hug. So this is absolutely awesome. I love this clip.
Time you want to charge up your phone, you just plug it in, because it's hard to just sleep when you're tired, because people are tired most of the time.
Gosh, I love you so much.
Oh, thanks.
Can I give you a hug?
No, thanks.
Please?
No, thanks.
A little one.
Yeah, no, thanks.
Oh. That was a nice moment.
I don't know who that was.
Yeah, it was Kesha.
Okay. Well, I wish you the best.
You can look it up
after. Like, anytime you want to charge.
That's so embarrassing. I feel like such a dick. If I hadn't gotten a nap, I would be having a temper tantrum right now. Everybody's hating on Seinfeld. Aram says Larry David made that dude millions. Jeremy says funniest thing Seinfeld has ever done on his own. Kenny says, was that the no thanks drop that Ben used to use? Yes. That's what that's from. No thanks. In the comments, they talked about, you know, it's cool that this was an example of boundaries. Everybody, there's a lot of people who were giving Seinfeld shit about not giving her a hug. It's like, no, fuck that shit. It was nice that she asked, but you can say no thanks. That's okay. If people don't want a hug, they don't want to touch you. My God. So people were just busting his balls. They still are to this day. That was years ago that this clip went around. Kenny can't stand him either. It says, I have never thought Jerry Seinfeld was funny, not once. Oh, come on now, you guys. Give me a break. Okay. Speaking of not funny, this is another podcaster. Aaron Imholt is his name, along with Gino Bisconti. Two of the homeliest looking people you'll see. It doesn't matter what they're talking about. E-Rock sent this to me and said, you might want to check this out.
Oh, so yeah, with the April thing, it's just, it's sad. Like, people think I'm gloating about the April thing. I'm gloating about the Nick thing because he's such an arrogant fucking prick who still refuses to recognize not only what he did to himself, but what he's done to other people. This motherfucker is Eric Zane in Titanic, you know, pushing the people away so he can get a spot on the fucking lifeboat.
If you're going to talk Titanic, I'll wake up Keanu because she'll fucking...
Oh, ask Keanu. Ask Keanu, say, does Nick remind you of Eric Zane in Titanic?
What? Well,
or no, Billy Zane. I'm sorry. Eric Zane was from Free...
It's Billy Zane.
Billy
it's
Zane.
Billy
Eric Zane,
Zane
was from...
She's yelling at me.
Yeah, Eric Zane was from Free Beer and Hot Wings. Billy Zane is from...
What's up with that guy's hairline?
Tombstone and...
I'd never trust a guy with that type of hairline.
Fucking Titanic and all that shit.
She quotes...
Oh, that all laid flat, whatever the fuck you're talking about. Thank you. Oh, my God. Okay, so this radio thing, I talked to you about that. I'm going to tell you now because you're on Patreon. All right? My friends at Big 101.3, they go, hey, we got an opening. You want it? And Monday through Friday, middays, I go, well, fuck yeah, sold. I'll do that shit. That's the radio station. And we're haggling over dollars and cents. Now, to be perfectly clear, this is the radio station that for 1 hour or 2 hours a week, I voice track on the weekend for a stout $12 an hour. I said, yep, all right. However, I can't do it for just $12 an hour every day. I mean, that's fun. Great. I love doing it. It's not a big amount. It's just voice tracking, for God's sake. So I go, 16 and you got a deal. And you know what's interesting about that? They said, hang on, we got to move some shells around. I'm like, okay, you move the shells. Let me know if the 16 an hour will work. Now, this isn't life-changing money. This is literally like 5 hours a week. But it's easy. It's something to do. And it's not a big burden on my time. So I go, fuck yeah, I'll do it. I'll be on the radio. I don't give a shit. So... What's interesting about that is still would be a full $1 less per hour than French Fry Maker. And that will be the best that I'm going to get ever. So this is just stupid. So we shall see. I'm literally waiting for them to get back to me with the thumbs up on the pay boost from middle school yard waste grass clippings picker upper guy to up to $16 an hour. Jeremy says full-time employee too, so benefits. No, you got to be more than 29 and a half hours to be full-time. This would not be 29 and a half hours, dude. Come on. All right. So there you go. Keep it between us girls, so, okay? Don't tell anybody. I want you to keep that on the down low. That's going to do it. I'll talk to you tomorrow on the free podcast. Thanks for this afternoon show today. I'll talk to you then. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Oh, well, here we go. All right. I swear I got my act in order. Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Patreon bonus. Bit of a hiccup on the start on the first one, and then I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, boy, this doesn't look right. Something looks wonky. No Darla. She realized that Mom is home. So she wandered over to the other room. We're to the point in the school year where the half day, you know how they like end the school year on half days. It's like, why even bother? I'm of the opinion you grind it out, you know, up to the final day, full days. I often wonder about, you know, in some communities, like in some countries, communities, they go to school all year long. And I think that's great, but I also like summer break. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know. How about if you're like the kid who goes to like a special school or a charter school or something like that? Like my grandson, for example. He goes to a school where there's no summer vacation. They go like all year long. And then there's in the summer, there's a brief period of time where they don't go to school. But they essentially go to school all year long. And if I'm a kid and I'm going to a school that doesn't have a summer vacation, I'm pissed. There's nothing better than summer vacation. Especially when you were like me during high school and you figured out that alcohol is your friend. Oh, my God. Did we just tear it up? Oh, my God. Kenny says that's horrible. Kids need summer break. Yeah. And, you know, they do. And then I think it kind of makes the world go round a little better, especially if you're taking a trip or something like that. I don't know. Linda says my grandson does that too. Kenny says school ended over a week ago here. Yeah, I remember in Tennessee it's starting or ending way early when my kids went there. But all right, so it goes. Welcome in. I'm not just going to sit around and talk about summer vacation. Rob says, wasn't it originally schools only gave a summer break to the kids so they could help in the farm field, something like that? I believe I've heard that too. And nowadays, all they do is just sit around and play video games. You know, they don't actually. Kids either in summer break, kids now have options. These are the things that young people do on summer break. Contemplate killing themselves, changing their gender, or playing video games. Those are the only three things that, and I know that sounds horrible. I'm not making that up. That those are the only options based on recent studies. That's all kids do these days. Change gender, kill themselves, or play video games. Hopefully, your child will only play video games or change their gender. That would be awful if a child said, "Yeah, that's it. What are you going to do today? I'm going to kill myself. Whatever, you know. I'm going to have lunch. I'm going to kill myself." Pooh Bear, for the first time in a long time, is not going on the East Coast trip. It was 1 year ago that I sat here and I said, all right, Pooh Bear has left again for another week for the East Coast trip. She's the chaperone on the bus with all these kids going on visit the various touristy, you know, Niagara Falls, Gettysburg, Fenway Park, all that shit on the East Coast trip. And she, for years, she was the chaperone. And I finally said, you know what? It's a huge bummer when you do that. It not only do I miss you, I mean, I don't want to, but I mean, it makes my life really, really challenging to not have a break from the dogs. Okay. And so she finally said to the powers that be, look, I'm out. I'm not doing the East Coast trip. So she is home, and that makes me happy. Not Black Kenny says, I live in an apartment complex where all the damn kids are never inside. Apparently, they don't have any video games. Well, they're changing their gender then, Kenny. Little brats are noisy as fuck and rude as fuck to each other out there. So ghetto here, he describes it as. Oh, my God. What do you mean it's ghetto? Are you suggesting that if it was not ghetto, the kids would not be being rude to each other? They'd be like, sweet. I got news for you. All kids hate on each other. Megan, great question. Who is more work, dogs or the NFK? The dogs. Rob says, no help with the dogs or the NFK. There's less ass to eat. You know, the simple things. Thank you, Rob. There is an interesting story that I forgot to mention. And I don't know if you saw this, but some of you may be aware that from like 1920 to like all the way up until right around when baseball legend Jackie Robinson was invited to play with the Dodgers to break the color barrier in baseball, black people had their own league. There may have been more than one. There were several, actually, organizations known as the Negro Leagues. Because, you know, back then, humans were wired like cavemen in America, and segregation was wild, and racism was at, you know, I mean, my God, it's such a terrible thing. Hard to believe that we lived in a world where not even 100 years ago, like, black people could not play Major League Baseball. That's horrendous if you think about it. And, but anyway, that's the way it was. There were some really, really great players that played in the Negro Leagues. And some of them had, in fact, better statistics than the very, very best white players. But Major League Baseball never acknowledged those performances. This just happened yesterday, and it's like, God damn it, it's 2024. This should have happened, like, you know, many, many moons ago. Major League Baseball is now saying that, well, they're integrating the statistics, so whoever... all the best of the best when it comes to the Negro leagues for batting average and pitching statistics, they're now incorporating them into Major League Baseball. So what that means is there's a guy, the late Josh Gibson, who was an absolute monster. The guy would just rake. And they took his statistics, and he is now the all-time batting average leader in the history of baseball. The previous was Ty Cobb. Ty Cobb, for his career, he averaged .367. Now, for those of you who don't know anything about baseball, you're like, what does that fucking mean? Well, that's a very, very high batting average. That's a high batting average for a week. Ty Cobb, his career batting average was .367. Unbelievable. Unbelievably efficient. Okay? By the way, that's an example of how hard baseball is. He got on base 36% of the time that he was at the plate. So, I mean, that's not even 4 out of 10 times. And yet, that's the greatest ever. That shows you how hard it is to hit a fucking baseball. But this dude, Josh Gibson, his career average was .372. So now he is the all-time leader in batting average in the history of baseball. That is fucking cool. I love that story. There's my man right there. I figured this would be the case. As soon as I saw this story yesterday, I thought this is going to make the racists come out to play on social media. People feel so emboldened on anything like this that they're very willing to show their ass, you know, especially since Trump was elected. And, you know, we have the culture where it is right now. It's an extremely racist time where racists have no problem coming out and just saying, oh, yeah, I'm a goddamn racist fucking shit. So I imagine that is the case. And some of those, I don't even like looking at those comments because it's just though you're looking at a Facebook comment, you still get a visceral reaction overcomes me. And I just want to strangle those people. Jeremy with the comment. I was shocked at how many swastikas were at Gettysburg. It was frightening. Now, I think that's a callback to when my son went on the East Coast trip. Is that what you're referencing? Because when my son went on that, I'll get back to the baseball thing in a second. When my son went on that same East Coast trip, okay, he was walking around the gift shop at Gettysburg, and he bought a souvenir. Now, I'm going to fast forward to the end of the story. I'm in his room, and I open up a drawer or something, you know, and what did I find? I found a replica Hitler Youth dagger with a swastika on the side. Jeremy says, I was referring to Chris's comment, and Chris says, yes, it was a callback. Megan says, she writes, fails. That is the name of the teacher who is in right now, he's on a bus right now going down the East Coast trip. Fails is the guy. And it was this moment in time right here that at some point he's going to have an announcement to the class that you cannot purchase items like this. But Jim went out of his, he said, oh man, that fucking Hitler Youth dagger. I got to get my hands on that. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why would you? Well, he bought it. Fails knew he bought it and did nothing. So Jim's on the bus with a Hitler Youth dagger. So many questions. First of all, why in the world at Gettysburg would they have for sale a Hitler Youth dagger? Contextually, Gettysburg is so much before the Third Reich on a historic timeline. Why is that even for sale there? I don't know. I should have called the gift shop at Gettysburg to get to the bottom of this. Aaron says that is a total lie. This is just the story he told you. Uh-uh. No, no, because I brought it up with Fails. Boy, I just got really blurry there. Holy shit. I brought it up with Fails, and I go, look, dude, what the fuck? And he went, since then, now he has the, he makes the announcement, and it's always the same story. There's one student who bought it. You cannot buy a Hitler. Why would Jim want it? It's a great question. Why was it? Why did he allow it on the bus? You know, nowadays it's zero tolerance. I'm surprised that they didn't like kick him out of school for that shit. Kenny asked the same question. Why would they have that? Why would Jim want it? Why would Jim buy it? Why wouldn't that teacher do anything about it after he bought it? All fair. All fair. My God. I've never let Fails live that down, ever. I still see him from time to time, and I give him the, I go, Nazi youth, or Hitler youth dagger. All right. So Josh Gibson is the new batting average leader of at 372. There was another one that was also fantastic, another great stat. I think, well, there was, whatever it is. They ended up integrating all of these statistics, and it's been a long time coming. Let's be honest here. And if anybody says, you know how the usual racists will make a stink about something like this. It's like, look, I got news for you. If you went back to those years when there were those two leagues, the team of the black guys is going to kick the shit out of the team of the white guys. There's no chance. So they're like, ah, well, no, that was watered down baseball. Bullshit it was. Satchel Paige, that's another historic name. His records were woven into Major League Baseball. As well as they should. They just should, goddammit. Okay, let's go back a couple of years to this moment. Speaking of the Negro Leagues. How about when the two baseball announcers for the Oakland A's were in Kansas City, and during the pregame show, the one guy that you'll see without the hat is talking about, boy, what a day. We had barbecue and we went and saw the Negro League Museum. Except this fucking moron did not say Negro League Museum. And there's so much to unpack here because if you haven't heard this, he drops the N-word hard, hard R. He doesn't trip over it. He doesn't pause. He keeps right on going. An idiot with the hat does not react. Again, so many questions. The guy with the without the hat got fired. I don't know what happened to the other idiot.
Negro League Museum and Arthur Bryant's barbecue. Oh. We had a phenomenal day today. Negro League Museum and Arthur Bryant's phenomenal day today. Negro League Museum and Arthur Bryant's barbecue. We had
no reaction whatsoever. N-word, hard R, League Museum and Arthur Bryant's barbecue.
This Audi R.
Oops. If you're Arthur Bryant's barbecue, you're like, oh, no. I'm being woven into this. Please, no. Don't do this to me. Rob says, I thought Nick Castellanos was going to be involved somehow. Ugh. I'll never forget when I first heard that. I was like, I cannot believe that. Every time I've played that clip, I'm like, again, so many questions. How did you say it and not trip over it? How did you say it and not immediately? I mean, when I trip over any word or say something wrong, I always bust myself. You've heard me do it a million times. I always go, oh, can you believe I said that? Oh, my God, I said this instead of that. I'm such an idiot. Oh, no, no. If I in any setting say N-word, hard R, and just keep on going, well, then I'm having a stroke. There's got to be some explanation for what's happening. You know? I won't even say that it's not impossible for me or anyone to accidentally say that word. I won't go that far. Okay? Because a lot of people said, oh, yeah, he intentionally did that. Yeah, I don't know if I can, 100% agree with that. Like, if I were to accidentally say the N-word, you would know by my reaction that I'd be shocked and scared and freaking out, you know? Jesus. Linda says, it's like he's said that word hundreds of times. Yeah, hard to argue with that. Chris says, right, Linda? He's used to saying that. Jeremy says, just flew right past it like nothing happened. Linda says, but then again, there's my sister. Yes, she did say that, but contextually, she was talking about how disgusted she was that someone else was saying that word, and then in telling the story, she actually said the word, to be fair, to poor Maureen. All right. Rob says, having been behind the scenes, there's no way nobody didn't chime in right away with a what the fuck just happened and let him know. Yeah, God, if we could only be a fly on the wall. Absolutely stunning. Linda says, Maureen gets a pass. Ladies and gentlemen, I had mentioned a pal, Tony Gates, today. Hey, Zane, you're dead to me, Zane. It's my birthday, baby. While coming up with a still shot, I pulled up this video from November 16th, 1979. I wanted to get a still shot of Tony Gates to put on my Facebook post promoting today's daily audio free podcast. While reviewing the video, I said, I'm going to go back and play this thing on the air again, or on the podcast again. So back in 1979, I guess LAV would record these little wacky skits, and then they would play them on TV and then play music videos from back in the day. What's interesting about this is I think this might even predate MTV. MTV Wiki. I think MTV premiered probably about 1981. There you go. August 1st, 1981. The LAV FM TV show aired November 16th, 1979. Let's check it out, featuring a very young Tony Gates. Not at the beginning. You'll definitely know Tony. That's right, baby. You can't hear anything. God damn it. I am so glad I caught this. Let me start over, okay? I'm going to try my damnedest not to fuck this up. Now we're ready.
It's rock and roll for Western Michigan on the LAVFM TV show. Tonight, featuring Police. Joe Jackson.
Sounds like a good show.
Bram Tchaikovsky.
All right, okay. I don't know who that is, but...
Along with the...
Okay.
LAVFM Air Aces.
Okay. Yellow shirt on the left. That's Tony Gates. On the right, yellow long sleeve. That is Eris, the late Eris Hampers. I don't know the other three.
Along with the LAVFM Air Aces. Hi, I'm Ogie. It's another Friday night of rock and roll on the LAVFM TV show.
All right. This dude looks like a rapist, frankly.
I'm going to start it off with police.
God damn. Maybe that's the look Freebeer is looking for.
Western Michigan weather.
Okay, this dude. Those reel-to-reel players in the background, I want one of those. Look at the size of that equipment.
Western Michigan weather.
All right, so he's sitting there, they're like dumping flour on him. Like, that's supposed to be snow?
Western Michigan weather.
What the fuck is going on here?
Western Michigan.
It's a super set with Joe Jackson. It's a super set with Joe Jackson. This is incredible. Check out the comments. Linda says that would take up half of your studio. Stevie says this is so stupid. All right, this next clip features a TV reporter.
Well, we're down here on the streets of downtown Grand Rapids doing 60
cute
seconds, the show we've got on LAVFM. I'm Lori Dion. We're looking for perspective. Oh, wait a minute, sir. Just a minute there.
Okay. Oh, hey, we're looking for... She sees Gates. Gates walking down the street with a jacket that looks like he's in Top Gun, and he's got his headphones around his neck.
I got a question I want to ask you. How did you get your start in radio? You look the type.
Yeah, I am in radio.
That's right, baby.
I was three. My mom left me alone a lot, and she used to put me in radar ranges, you know. And I've been radioactive ever since.
What the fuck? And then he grabs her. What the fuck?
How did you get your start in radio?
So I guess Tony's just going to assault that woman.
I see, I was born with a silver tube in my mouth. Excuse me, I'm running down.
And how did-
God, if there was any doubt that this era was one of the worst ever and that a lot of drugs were consumed, this would be proof of that.
Did you get into radio?
Well, it all started when my girlfriend gave me a birthday present.
What kind of a present?
She gave me this, Mr. Microphone. I'm on the radio. I love it.
Join us next Friday at midnight.
There's another clip I want to share with you. It is, let's see. Our pal Michelle McCormick. Fast forward 1989. They're doing a dance TV show, and she's on WGRD at the time. If she was here, she'd be mortified.
Oh, what is it?
You know why Janet Jackson did not want this video in color?
Why?
She wanted everyone to look the same, kind of gray.
Everyone gray. Janet Jackson, a hot new artist.
What the hell was that?
Doing the Rhythm Nation on Pepsi Dance Track.
Oh, my God. Look at the fashion. That is rough. Holy shit. I could watch that all day. So embarrassing. My God. Rob says, my God, they all just look mentally ill. And her voice is like three octaves higher than it is now. I need to call her right now and ask her about Pepsi Dance Tracks. I doubt she'll pick it up. I'm just saying. This is something that Greg Henson should see.
Hey,
I'm podcasting.
Dogs are barking. What?
I said I'm podcasting live. You're on.
I am?
Yeah.
No, I need to sign releases and you need to send me a check. There's a lot of things that have to happen before I'll come on your podcast.
But I was watching Pepsi Dance Tracks. Oh, my God. It was so great. Who was the dude that you were doing it with on GRD?
Eric, that was Frosty Stillwell, who later went on to work in Denver, Jamie Frank and Frosty. How did you like the affected voice that I had? Hey, Pepsi Dance Track.
It was definitely younger Michelle style. I mean, it was all right. You were so cute. You were absolutely adorable.
And, you know, I thought I was fat, and I was just not really. Now I'm, you know, you look back, you think you're chunky. You look back and go, I could fill out a pair of jeans. I didn't look so bad.
Have you shared that with Greg Henson?
Oh, yeah. I played it on the air. They howl every time I play that thing.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, he said the same thing. You didn't look too bad. You know, you held your own, but it's, the funny part was I thought I just had it going on, and you watch it and go, what a nerd ski, but I didn't care. I thought it was the coolest thing.
Yep. Oh. Yeah. At the time, we don't think that. And then we look back on it, we always feel bad. It's always embarrassing, you know?
I know it. And, you know, I mean, it was a dance show, and the dances were terrible. And you know what? Here's the thing. You would say a sentence like, hey, I'm WGR, and then you just start dancing out the last line. It's the worst. But, we do what we can.
How about jumping to a different topic? How about guy who zoomed in on the court without a license while he was driving?
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I might have done that in my own life. Look, I got pulled over one time while driving on a suspended license. I did. And in Wyoming on 44th Street. And the cop said... He later went on to become chief of police, but he said, what's your name? I said, Michelle, sir. And he goes, wait a minute. Are you the radio, Michelle? And I said, yeah. And I was crying. And it was good cop, bad cop. He was an old guy. The other guy was a young guy. Let's throw her in jail because I had a warrant I had a bench warrant because I never paid anything. I was an idiot. So and I was going like 80 down 44th. And he said, I will take you to a money machine. And if you can pay your bail, which is like $100, I will let you go. So I get in the back of the cop car. We used to play this thing on the air called Cop In, Cop Out. We call Marge's Donut Den. You call the show and you guess they're going to be cops in or cop out. I call Marge and I'd say, Marge, are there cops today? She'd go, yep. And if you guess yes, you won like a year's worth of Marge's Donut.
Oh, okay. It was a great
thing. Yeah. So the guy turns around and he goes, this is for Cop In, Cop Out. It was really funny. And we went on to become really dear friends. And he's always at that Soups On event.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, for anyway. So I might have done that. The guy was an idiot to literally, I would have gotten out of my car and pretended I wasn't driving. But I've done stupid crap like that for sure.
That was, it's one thing to do it, to drive on a suspended license. I mean, you got to get from, but to zoom in and the judge sees you, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. I loved that story so much.
I know. But the sad thing is, I can relate. Most people roll their eyes at him and I'm like, I get it.
Michelle, we talked about Judge Smolinski's retiring. You should have the judge on. She's awesome.
I love Sarah. She used to umpire every single game when we did that celebrity softball game. She would umpire, and she is here. And I have sat in on her court. I adore her. I did not even know she's retiring, Eric. I had no idea.
Right. Yeah, she's quite a spectacular soul. I love her to death.
Yeah,
I love you guys too. Travis and Greg, you guys are doing awesome. Everybody loves you guys. I'm so happy that the show is doing as well as it is, and everybody is just really, really happy for you.
Yeah, you need to raise your standards. I don't know what's going on. Oh. You go back to drinking. Are you drinking again?
No. Hey, are you going to a radio boot camp this year?
I am.
Yeah, because that's like an annual thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and this year it's far away. It's in San Diego, so it's going to cost some money. So I got to do a few Pepsi dance tracks between now and then, make some cash.
Oh, my God. I love it. I love it. I love you very much, even though you still talk to Free Beer. I wish you wouldn't do that.
I love you more.
All right. Okay. I'm going to let you go. Thank you.
Carry on then.
Okay, see ya. There you go. That's Michelle McCormick. How about that? Pepsi dance tracks. She is an undeniable ball of energy, okay? She's fantastic. She Stevie writes, are you drinking again, LOL? All right. Okay, we are just under 4 hours away from the beginning of Big Fraud Thursday. Well, actually, Big Fraud Thursday is the whole day. We're like smack dab in the middle of it. And that means that at about 6:15 Big Fraud time, we will start with another edition of Who Are These Free Beers? I cannot wait. You guys are going to love this. So I'm looking forward to that, along with the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. Kenny writes, she sounds like she's been smoking since she was like 3 years old. I think she used to be a heavy smoker. She does have that going. Okay, thank you, folks. I appreciate y'all. Talk to you down the road. You're a great audience. Till next time, bye-bye.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save.